want to thank Pastor Kevin. I know he wasn't here, but the last thing he said to me was, don't ruin it for me, okay? So I promised him that I'll just share faithfully the Word of God, but also I said to him, you better not ruin it for me. He said he'll tell me what he preached about a bit later on. Firstly, before we get into the Word, just want to thank the women. Last week we had a really good, they had really good fellowship and we looked after the kids. And apparently I heard they sent you guys to Sunnybank to eat. So, we thank you for the fellowship. It was fun and there's a lot of food. I'm after the bass guitar. No, the other guy. Sam, where's Sam? Oh. You know, upon reflection, Jenny was asked a question. One of the questions were, what would you do with $1 million? Guess what Jenny's response was? That's not enough money. What kind of question is that? So Sam, I just want to, my condolences to you. I don't know what you're going to do, brother. You can't satisfy women. I know. One of the questions were, you know, that's all. I just wanted to, embarrass you like that. And that's one of the questions. What would you do with $1 million? And Jenny turned around and says, $1 million? That's nothing. You know, of course she was thinking about the church building and other things like that. Was she? But, yeah, it was a great time of fellowship. And on behalf of the Hmong ladies, we just want to say thank you for being a part of that fellowship. You know, I'm sort of humbled and embarrassed to be standing here because I'm seriously amongst giants in the faith, I believe. I mean, I've got at the front row here one of my mentors, SP, and how am I going to preach in front of him? You know, he's the one who always tells me I'm wrong and rebukes me. Pastor Roger, Kevin, even Oni and Branny and Russell, you guys are all my mentors, and I feel very privileged but humbled to be able to share God's word. So I just want to pray that God moves amongst us. Today's message is, let's not build our foundation on anything else but Christ. So as great as these people are, my faith and all of our faith should be built upon Jesus Christ. He should be our foundation. So hopefully, by the end of this message, God has spoken to you. Hopefully, by the end of this message, God has wrestled with you in your heart, and we've come to realize the beauty of Jesus Christ and who He is in our lives. And I just want to share, my testimony or journey, and then hopefully God can be revealed. I always like to pray before we start. So if you allow me that privilege, let's bow and close our eyes and just let us just give this to Jesus. Father God, thank you for using broken vessels, sinful people, restoring them through your grace, your free grace, Lord. Lord, we understand that there is nothing good in us. We don't seek you. We don't want to find you. But Lord, through your grace, you come and touch our hearts and reveal your beauty, your love to us. Lord, may you be revealed in all of our hearts. And Lord, we ask with expectant hearts that you wrestle with us this morning, that you convict our hearts, Lord. And Jesus, may you be glorified. So Lord, we pray that your Spirit may work amongst us, and we commit this to you in Jesus, your beautiful name. Amen. Okay, so the passage that I'll be sharing from is from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we've read it up on the screen. Thank you, Colin. It's great worship. It's good to worship in English for me, because believe it or not, English is my mother tongue. See, so I was like, yeah, with a smile. You know, Hmong, I sort of have to try to find the words, but in English it's so good. We've got a great church. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus spoke to his disciples, taught his disciples, and this was the last passage to sum up or to close or to summarize the Sermon on the Mount. And it says this, I read from the English Standard Version. I've got the NIV, but I like the English Standard Version as well. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because he had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, 26 to 27. Also, I want to ask us a question to start off with. Why are you here? Now, I want us to keep that question in front of your mind. Why are you here? Why are you here today? Why are you sitting on that seat today? Like right now. Right now, I want us to understand and ask yourself, why are you here? Are you here because of your spouse? Are you here to please your husband or please your wife? Are you here because of the great fellowship? Now, I can't answer that question for you, but today I want to take you deep inside your inner man, your inner self, and challenge these thoughts. Are you here because you have to be? I mean, I can't answer that for you, but I want to challenge you there. Now, I want to be honest with you. Now, it's actually embarrassing when a pastor tells off his faults. But if you laugh at me, that's fine. Feel free to. The Hmong congregation laughs at me all the time. So, I want to reveal. When I first came to church, I came for my wife. She's a beautiful lady over there. We're going to give birth to our second child. Our fourth child in 2 weeks. Sorry, our fourth child in 2 weeks. See, you can laugh at me. That's fine. So I remember coming to church for her, to be honest. I mean, when I first came to church, I came for her. I mean, yeah, I was like playing the Christian life. Yeah, I'm a great husband. And everyone was like, Johnny, people should be like you. And in my heart, I was like, oh man, I hate church. It's so honestly wasting my time. You know, if anyone knows my father-in-law, Yong Sa Lo is sort of like the godfather of the Hmong people in Australia. I mean, you can start talking about how cats are scared about dogs, you know? And somehow he will say, did you know that if you look at it clearly, that's a reflection of Jesus Christ. Let me show you how. And you start talking about Jesus. He can lead any subjects to Christ. And it's crazy. Anyway, just briefly, I remember when I first came to, like, they lived in Tasmania at that time. So, you know, imagine a pimply 20-year-old smoking. Back then I smoked and I drank, and everyone knew that. Back then a 20-year-old smoking, pimply, drinking person walked into the house. Open the doors in Tasmania, sitting down in the lounge saying, I want to marry your daughter. Me by myself, just imagine. And the most holiest Christian is sitting there looking at me. And I was like, you know, I love her. And you know, I want to marry her. You know, he says to me, wait here. Give me a second, I'll be back. He walks out of the room. Didn't you know how scared I was? I know that he wouldn't have done this, but I'm just picturing a shotgun coming out and saying, you what? You know, of course he wouldn't do that. Honestly, there was a chair there. My plan was I'm going to throw the chair and jump out the window if it comes. You know, I mean, just think about that. Imagine you're sitting there. Just imagine you're sitting there. Everyone in the community knows that I'm naughty. You know, and I'm coming to ask the hand of marriage of the most holiest man's daughter. We waited for 2 minutes, and I can tell you, those who have not proposed, 2 minutes feels like a long time when the father-in-law walks out and says, wait here. Anyway, he comes back with a book, all right? And I'm like, okay, I can handle a book. If he swings, I can handle a book. But it was a Bible, of course. And you know, this guy sits me down, and he opens up, and he starts talking about how, like, this son, you know, John 3:16, how if you believe in Jesus and then you can go to heaven too. And I'm like, you know, honestly, I'm sorry, babes. But you just nod and agree, you know, like, yes, okay, yes, I'm a Christian if you want to today, that's fine, let me be a Christian, let's get married. Anyway, he spent an hour talking about the Bible to me, and I thought, that's okay, I can handle that. And then, yeah, he spoke about passages in the Bible, and honestly, it just went over my head. But I guess the seed was planted, because my question was, who's this Jesus guy that you're talking so much about? I mean, it's just a fairy tale anyway. It's not true. Come on, wake up. You know, this is just my thinking. Like I said earlier, I've got three girls. We're going to give birth to another girl. So that's four girls. If your sons want to marry my daughters, guess what's going to happen? They're going to have to sit down for an hour too. All right? I don't mind intercultural marriage. So I'm warning you now. I won't come up with a shotgun, but I'll come up with the Bible too. So I think that's why God gave me three girls. Anyway, we moved to Brisbane. We moved to Brisbane, and of all the churches, we came to a little church. Back then, the English was worshiping up there. And, you know, again, I came to church to please Dad and to please, you know, my wife. And I share this story. Why do I share this story? Because my foundation as a Christian, I want you to hear me. My foundation as a Christian was based upon not losing faith. My Christian faith was based on making my wife happy. My foundation of my Christian faith was making my father-in-law happy. Us Asian people, losing faith is very important. You know, and I didn't want my father-in-law to lose faith. I didn't want my family to lose faith. So my foundation, my rock, was my wife and my father. I wanted to please them. But in putting my foundation and trust in that, when I argued with my wife the night before, guess what would happen? I ain't going to go to church today, honey. Not going. You know, if my father-in-law and me didn't get along, same thing. I'm not going to church today. I don't care what you say. I'm not going. You know, and when they're nice to me, like, okay, now I'll go. So if you're sitting here and that's sort of your story, then I guess this message is for you. Because that's shaky. That's shaky. And that's the sand that this passage is talking about. That's, you're building your foundations upon something else rather than Christ. Now, I'm not saying for one second, don't love your wife. I mean, I love her, but she can't be the foundation of your faith. She can't be. You know, the rain started falling. The rain started falling. My wife was starting to argue with me, and she goes, stop drinking. I love to drink alcohol too. Stop drinking. I said, I don't have an alcohol problem. Just give me two beers after work and leave me alone every day. I mean, I thought I didn't have an alcohol problem, but it was clear that I did. That's the rain in your life. That's your spouse annoying you. That's things going against you. And then the floods came. What's the flood? Floods are things like, you know, my father-in-law coming in and agreeing with my wife. Yeah, you got an alcohol problem, Johnny. Stop smoking. You've been smoking for over 10 years. You should stop. I'm like, I've got no problem. Man, stop it. I don't need you to tell me what to do. See, because my faith was built on something else rather than Christ, because my faith was built on pleasing my wife, my father-in-law, if things didn't go my way, guess what? I'd move away from the church a bit more. I'd move away from God a bit more. But then, you know that saying, the straw that breaks the camel's back? All of a sudden, the Christians started talking about me. You know, yeah, Johnny, listen to your father-in-law. Oh, man, hypocrites. Of course, Asian, we don't say that. We just smile and say, yes. Don't want to lose face. Go back home, but, oh, hypocrites. You know, I really hated the church. Let me be honest with you. I hated the hypocrisy of it all. I hated the two-face of it. I know you. I saw you. You're saying that you're all holy and stuff. You're not. I know. I hated the church. So I did the best thing an Asian person could do. I couldn't say I don't want to go to church, right? Because that would be wrong. So I found a job on Sunday. Dad, I'd love to go to church. I would. I'm working on Sunday. I know, you know, it's not me. It's just the way it is. God, in his wisdom, after about a year and a half, I don't know why, all of a sudden Woolworths all of a sudden changed. Chopped Sundays. No more Sunday work. Oh, man. I came back and I sat upstairs and seriously, nothing had changed. Back then, Pastor Roger used to preach and we used to see him upstairs. And I remember sitting down, looking around the room, and I would tell you, not one person there would understand what Pastor Roger's saying. Seriously, because their English isn't that good. So what you would probably find is Pastor Roger would be preaching the word of God. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And all of them would be half yawning, half asleep. And I'd be looking around the room saying, man, they really don't understand the message. Things hadn't changed. It confirmed to me how much I hated God and the church. It's all fake. Yeah, anyway. About a month later, I was sitting in my lounge room. And it happened. Normal day. Nothing different. I met him. I met God in my lounge room. I mean, I was sitting down watching the news. Politicians are killing the people. And my 2-year-old daughter walks across the TV screen. And this inner thing, this inner voice, this, I can't describe it, hits me. Would you sacrifice your 2-year-old daughter for those people in the TV, those politicians? And I remember answering to this voice, no way. Why would I? And all this happened simultaneously, okay? So it wasn't like one after the other. It's just almost like it all hits you at one go, like, boom, one shot. You just know all the, not secrets, it just all hits you together. So I was like, no way. And then this voice said to me, I gave my son for them. And then boom, I knew it was God. I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. I knew it was God at that moment. And then this voice, God, said to me, and Johnny, he died for you too. I said, no, you don't. I don't know if you ever felt it, that inward struggle. No, you're not coming in. No. Why did I say that? Because I don't deserve it. I remember literally saying, I hate your guts. I hate your people. Why are you coming? No, you don't. No, I'm not letting you come in. No. And I felt this presence. I can't describe it properly, but I felt this presence and this overwhelming love come upon me. And it broke my heart. And he said, I love you. And I said, but I don't deserve you. And he said, but I love you. And I said, no. And he said, yes. And he grabbed me and he held me and he said, I died for you. For free. It's okay. And my heart broke. My heart broke. I said, I don't deserve you. He says, I love you. I said, I hate you. He says, I love you. I remember that night walking into my bedroom, closing the door, tears running down on my face, getting on my knees and repenting for an hour with tears coming down my face saying, I don't deserve you, God. I truly don't deserve this kind of love. And you give it to me for free? You give it to me for free. You know I hate you. Doesn't matter. It's freely given and it's for you. I mean, I've never felt that kind of love and peace. I couldn't breathe.
It's like I can't breathe. It's like just the amazing love of God revealing himself to you. Boom. I know personally from my own experience how Isaiah felt when God revealed himself to Isaiah, and Isaiah felt on his knees and said, no, I'm a man of unclean lips and so is the people in this world. I know that feeling personally. I don't deserve it. And that is my experience when I first met him. I met him. I went to church the next week and wow, it was different. I remember going to the church the next week and I said, I don't care if you guys talk or understand or don't understand. I always sit in the front seat basically now, anywhere I go. Because look, I love everyone, but I don't care what you guys do. I'm worshiping God. No offense. I love everyone, but I'm at church to worship God. The God that I met, the God that I know, the God that has a personal relationship with me, and he loves me. And he loves you. So the next week, I went to church and I just worshipped him. And I understood what my father-in-law was talking about. This Jesus that he was talking about. Oh, it's sweet. It's sweet when you meet him. And it's sweet when you worship him. But your foundation has to be him. And now everything I do comes from that foundation. Everything I do comes from that foundation. I remember crying on my knees and literally giving my life to him that night. Saying, God, seriously? It belongs to you now. Every part of me belongs to you now. My life now belongs to you, God, because I know that I do not deserve anything. I know that I'm broken. I know I'm a sinner. And God, for you to give me your son, it all belongs to you now. That's fine. Everything's yours. You can use me as you will. But it's funny because, you know, look, I was honestly going to go to a big church and get serious there. Because the Hmong congregation back then was just going to church. God said, Johnny, you got to be the Hmong congregation pastor. God spoke to my heart. You got to look after the Hmong congregation members. My response to God was, God, you know I can't speak Hmong, right? God's like, I know you can't, but you got to look after them. I'm like, the English? No, the Hmong. I'm like, oh. So guess what? Now my foundation was in Christ. The reins fell. Matthew 7:25, the reins fell. Yong Sa was like, yeah, we need a position to be filled as an elder. Who wants to do it? I'm literally, me. He's like, no one? I'm like, me! So no one wants to do it. B, did you want to do it again? No, I'm busy, A, with work. I'm like, Dad! I'm like, anyone? No? I mean, you laugh about it, but imagine a 30-year-old wanting to be an elder. Just think about it. Imagine a 30-year-old say, choose me. I'll do it. Anyone else? I mean, that's the rain. That's the rain on your faith. But I knew that I knew God. That's my foundation now. I love my wife, but it was no longer her. It's in Christ. I didn't care what they said because I knew him. I met him and I worship him. And my life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. It belongs to the church now. The floods came. My mum said to me, Johnny, think about it. You know you can't speak Hmong, right? I'm like, yeah, mum, I know. She's like, don't be stupid. Come on. You don't want to be Hmong pastor. Don't worry. Work at Woolies. They pay well. You know, I'm like, Mom, it's a calling. I mean, he spoke to me. Do you know how hard it is when you're trying, I guess some of you do. Do you know how hard it is, the people you're trying to help and serve are just bickering, annoying, gossiping about you? It's so hard. Oh, you know, the very people that you're trying to serve are the very people that are saying, Renee, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. And you spent a whole week preparing for them. Do you know, if your foundation is not in Christ, you let that go. Being an elder is so hard. No one's ever going to thank SP for spending his own money and resources and time doing this building project. I guess, you know what we'll do? We'll complain and say, no, it's not good enough. SP, what about this? Patiently, through the grace of God, yes, I've thought about that 20 times, but it doesn't work. We need to go through this pain. And why do we go through it? Because our foundation's in Christ. I want us to understand, as we leave today, that your foundation has to be in Christ. Any other foundation, and I guarantee you that's sand, you will leave. You will give up. You'll blame the church. You'll blame your friends. You'll blame your wife. You'll blame everyone except yourself, and you'll walk away. Our foundation needs to be in Christ and Him alone. It has to be. And we need to know who He is before we can put our faith in Him. The winds started blowing. You know, one of the hardest times for me was when, you know, sometimes when you help and you serve and you look around and it's always you. Do you know that feeling? It's always you coming to set things up. It's always you doing everything. Guess what the devil begins to say? Who are you? Why is it always you doing it? Why are you always taking the rubbish out? Are those people always sitting down enjoying your service? See, now that was my hardest thing, one of the hardest things I had to come over. That's the winds and, you know, things like that. And again, if our foundation's not in Christ, you're on sand and you will give up. 100% you will give up if your foundation's not in Christ. It needs to be in Christ. Why? Because you can say whatever you want. I serve Him. And I love you guys, honestly, through Him. I'm sustained, not by your praises, thank you, but I'm sustained through Him. I know who I am, and I'm broken. And I know who I am. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for Him. Why would I bother? I work 5 days a week. I want to enjoy 2 days. Why would I bother coming here? But we do so because He's worth it. He's so beautiful. So we have to put our faith in Him. Not in people, but in Him. And that's the foundation that Jesus is speaking about when His disciples came to Him on the mountain. And when He started preaching the Sermon on the Mount and closed by saying that, we need to understand that as good as it is to do good works, if that is your foundation, you will fall. You are setting yourself up to fall. I want to say that again very clearly. If you're trying to do good in your own strength, for your own glory, you're setting yourself up higher and higher, and one day it's going to come crashing down. Because when people stop praising you, when people stop acknowledging you, when people stop saying, thank you, SP, you'd be like, why should I do it for? Let them do it themselves. We need to understand every single ministry, every single thing starts from the gospel, is sustained through the gospel, and is for His glory because of the gospel. It starts with Him. He's the Alpha. It ends with Him. He's the Omega. So before we serve Him, we need to understand, I am a broken sinner with a contrite heart, disgusting God, and You gave Your Son for me. That's the foundation. When we want to give up, we need to understand who we are. I'm a disgusting sinner who went against you and you died for me. And that sustains you. That and that alone should sustain you. Not praises from men. And then at the end, we take our crowns and give it to him. Why? Because without the gospel, you wouldn't want to serve people. Why would you? You know, my wife said to me the other day, Johnny, we should go and make a lot of money. I said, oh, it's very easy to, darling. But God hasn't called me for that. And, you know, she says to me, but we know how to do it. I'm like, I know how to do it and you know how to do it. But we're here to serve God. We're here to serve everyone else. And if they become abundantly rich because we become abundantly poor, praise God. But that's not fair. Hey, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Was that fair? Oh yeah, well, okay, yeah, that's true. He sustains us. Jesus Christ, all the glory is to go to him. Why? Because he's our foundation. He's our rock. He has to be what we build everything upon. So, I want to finish and conclude on this. I want to ask you the same question. It might hurt. Why are you here? Let me repeat that question. Why are you here today? There will be an inner struggle. Because you know you can't lie to yourself. If your foundation is built on anything but Christ, I'm telling you, be very, very careful. You're on shaky grounds right there. And like me, after 4 or 5 years, it will fall down and it will crash. So what should we do? We should go to him. Maybe not your whole life, but maybe there's different areas of your ministry or your life that you know you need to give to him. Give it to him. Have peace. Have his joy. Let it go. Let him have the glory. Let Jesus be the one that sustains you. Let Jesus be the one that is intimate with you. Jesus doesn't give you love. Jesus is love. Jesus doesn't give you joy. He is your joy. Jesus doesn't give you security. He is security. It's not money. It's not your wife. It's not your it's him. And the crazy thing is, he gives it to us for free. All we need to do is just open our hearts and accept it. So, my prayer is that if God has spoken to you today, and if you hear that voice right now, in your heart, if you can hear him saying, yeah, it's that one, give it to him. Turn it over to him. Allow him to sustain you through his grace. And let's not look to our own strength, but let's bask in his strength, in his grace, in his glory. And let's submit to the Spirit, to his Holy Spirit, and obey his word. And then let's give him the glory, because we know we can't do it in our own strength. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for everything. And Lord, today, if you've spoken to these beautiful people in this room through your Spirit, Lord, may you wrestle with us in our walk with you to make us more like you, Christ. And if there are those, Lord, who are still struggling and deep down inside know that they have not given themselves to you, Lord, please set them free. Because if you know the truth, it will set you free. And Lord, all that we do, all that we've heard today, like the disciples that came to you on the sermon
on the mount and listened. May we build our foundations on you, Christ, and on you alone. May our lives, our ministries, and everything we do be upon you. We pray that you have glory, and we pray this in Jesus, your beautiful name. Amen.